Welcome to a brand new edition of Real Prospector, a service of the Robert Palmer family of companies. On our show today, interesting conversations, fast-paced conversations with Robert Palmer, the founder of RP Funding and the Robert Palmer family of companies. Also, we'll be talking to real estate industry leaders Matt Hodges. Matt's going to talk about things from a home buyer's and a home seller's perspective and what you need to be looking for in a very, very proactive real estate agent and broker. Then we'll bring in Boston Dave Knight. Now, Dave's going to be talking to us about investments. Now, we're not talking about flipping. We're talking about investing in real estate for the long term, managing that real estate, and accumulating wealth. Great show today. I think you're going to enjoy it. Sit back and enjoy. And this is Real Prospector. Robert, you and I know, and we talk about it on your radio shows around the nation, we talk about the fact that home ownership is the foundation to financial success. You've got to get that going. You've got to be the owner of a home. And yet, we have so many people we need to convince.
I mean, you know, if you look at the wealth of people who are landlords compared to those who are renters, right? The landlords are the rich ones, right? They're the really wealthy ones. They're the ones that have a high net worth. Why? You know, because they have the real estate. And if it was a bad deal, if owning a home was then a bad deal in the long term, do you think these really rich folks would own so much real estate? Absolutely not. And what happened, Rob, is for a whole generation, they saw the way real estate ruined a lot of families' lives, right? And it did. And you know, we had the crash, and a lot of people were upside down. What I will tell you is, if people, you know, the people who didn't get the toxic mortgages, who didn't get taken advantage of, who got a good solid 30-year fixed mortgage, they really didn't have the problem, right? Because their payment didn't change. Their payment didn't go up. They just kept paying it like it was rent, right? So if you lived in a house and all of a sudden that house loses value, well, if the payment is affordable, if the payment's the same as rent, who cares? When you were a renter, you didn't get any benefit of the value of the home, right? And so, but for a whole generation, they saw, you know, property prices crash. And it really happened very quickly. I mean, over a 2 or 3 year period, we saw property crash, you know, property values crash, mm-hmm. and they immediately have now started going back up. And if you delete that whole period, right, if you take the long-term appreciation chart and you delete like 2005 and 6 and 7, maybe even 2004, it's a pretty straight line, right? So we had that anomaly where it spiked and it came back down. But over the long haul, so even the, like, I mean, I had a lot of properties. I bought the house I'm sitting in right now in 2007, right? 8 years ago to this week, actually. And so, yeah, it's worth a lot more than a lot less than what I paid for it. Actually I'm getting pretty close back now, but the payment is the payment, and I owe a lot less than I did when I bought it 8 years ago. And so, yeah, I didn't hit the home run with the appreciation part, but I'm starting to get that back now. And I bought it the worst possible time on this particular property. And so even when you miss in real estate over the long haul, you're going to be fine. You know, 15, 20 years from now, this thing's going to be paid off, right? And, it's going to be paid off and it's going to be worth more than what I paid for. And it's going to be a really nice asset. So even the worst of times, real estate is still more beneficial mm-hmm. than renting, right? And so what we see, Rob, is people who have owned before, people who have seen the impact this has, right? You know, when you live in a house and you make your payment and all of a sudden you wake up 10 years later and you've got $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 in equity in that house, right? That's real money. You know, well, we have people that they bought their first home. You know, they buy a $200,000 home. Probably right about the same time they start putting money into their 401k, right? And so then they wake up 10 years later and the home has $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 in equity and the 401k only has like $20,000 or $30,000 in it. And they realize that buying the home was probably the best choice they could have made for their retirement. Buying the home has done more to increase their net worth and put them in a position to succeed. You know, people who bought homes in 2010 and 11 are absolutely seeing this right now. You know, that their homes are up significantly. There's people who just in 2 or 3 years, their homes increased $60,000, $70,000. That's real mm-hmm. money. They can sell the home right now and bank that money into their 401k or whatever they want to do it into a retirement account. They've got $60,000 or $70,000 more than the person who chose to rent, right? So let's go back to person A and person B. So in 2010, Person A and person B. Remember, person A is my guy who pays cash for everything mm-hmm. and doesn't believe in credit and thinks that credit's the path of financial ruin, which it can be if you're irresponsible, right? But you don't have to be irresponsible. That's your choice. And then person B, who's very responsible, person B pays their cards off every month, takes advantage of the points, takes advantage of the discounts on the vehicle. They probably furnish their whole house with using credit card points, right? And they buy the vehicle, they buy an affordable car, but they take out a loan on it. So they can get a little bit newer car, so they don't have to have the big maintenance bills, and they have the good credit score. And so now in 2010, person A and person B both go to buy a $200,000 house. And person A can't get a mortgage because they don't have any credit. So they go rent. Person B buys the $200,000 house. Fast forward to today, and that house is probably worth $260,000, $270,000. So the person who was not afraid of credit, the person who followed rule number four, don't abuse credit, but don't fear it either. Don't fear credit, but don't abuse it. The person who followed rule number four now has an extra $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in net worth because the home went up in value. The mortgage has gone down in balance, right? And who knows how much they've made during that time period off of cashing in their credit card points, not having to pay for vacations, getting the discount on the truck, whatever it is. You know, and the vehicle got paid off and they traded that one in and went out and got another vehicle with a similar payment, but it's a nicer vehicle this time because they had the down payment money plus the equity in the first vehicle and they took out the small loan and they didn't get eaten up with maintenance bills and repair bills on their car because they bought a little bit newer. Who's in a better situation today?
Hey, thank you so much, Robert Palmer, RP Funding, and of course, the Robert Palmer family of companies. And I want to introduce you all to a guy who's just dynamic. I mean, it's the number one of those people in the real estate industry in Central Florida that when you say his name, somebody around you in the circle is going to smile and they're going to say, I know Matt Hodges. Are you kidding me? He may have sold or bought your home for you or got you involved in real estate someplace. This guy is a killer when it comes to real estate. He's absolutely the best. We're glad to have him on The Real Prospector. And Matt, let me ask you about this. When you first came into real estate, you came in as an investor. Can you kind of tell us about that part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So family business from the time that I can remember. So my father, we have a total of 28 rental properties. And from the time I was probably in fifth grade, I was out helping managing them and moving tenants in and out. And so I've kind of grown up in that real estate investment my entire life. So as I got older, I started managing our portfolio for us, and I was turning over the properties and doing that for us. And then eventually I said, you know what, I'm going to start doing this for other people. And so that was kind of my introduction into real estate.
So when you came in, and you probably were aware of Keller Williams, you were aware of the great job they do, so customer friendly, so very much in touch with the market. Why was that the choice for you?
You know, the energy that that is in the office at Keller Williams, I think, was my biggest draw to it. I interviewed a few different brokers, but they were just so welcoming and they are just so eager to help you grow your business that I felt like it was a natural fit for me.
One of the things that you and I talked about the first time we met was the fact that for people that are new to Florida, there's some tradition in Florida, but not like they had when they came out of Michigan or Boston or Kansas City. You know, places that have a couple of hundred years under their belt. Central Florida is relatively new.
Right.
It really kind of hit the road in the 60s with the coming of Disney, and that's kind of where the current Florida began, so to speak, all right? But throughout all the years, through the good economy, the bad economy, through the housing crash in 2006, 7, and 8, Keller Williams has just kept the course.
Right.
I mean, you guys didn't ever change drastically. You didn't close 12 offices. You guys just stayed at the helm and did the job.
Right, absolutely.
You know, talk about that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of inside training. There's a lot of insight that they give you on which side of the market and how to interpret what's coming. So there's business planning seminars that we go to that say, hey, here's the real estate trends. Here's what we see on the horizon. Here's how you want to position yourself to best help your clients. And so you kind of anticipated the downturn. You kind of saw the bubble kind of coming. When things were getting really hot and you knew that you were going to have to be on the other side of the market for that. So,
did you think as many real estate concerns would go by the wayside and turn into other kinds of companies? I mean, a bunch of people were lost.
Right, right. No, absolutely. I mean, it was a scatter, you know, I mean, you had to, you know, a lot of people weren't able to stay in real estate. They didn't see it coming. And so they had to find alternative means unless, you know, you were kind of preparing for that. and decided that you were going to embrace the market in the downturn.
I think amazingly that saying that the cream rises to the top really happened then.
Right.
And if you remember, that's when you first maybe became familiar with Robert Palmer.
Right.
Is here's a guy starting a mortgage company in the worst of economies.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of the time that I broke away from just managing our own portfolio into helping others. It was right around that same time. I understood the fundamentals of real estate very well. I saw values very accurately, I felt, and I was able to assist a lot of people, make a significant income from real estate.
You probably wish that more people who have a little equity in their home and have a little bit of above average intelligence would come in contact guys like you that know about the investing side of the business. Because when I look at people with an unsure Social Security, an unsure, pension plans are going out all the time. So you're not real sure that past 65, you're going to have an income.
Right.
But, as much as I've ever seen, income from a rental doesn't stop.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a way to build a long-term wealth, a long-term revenue stream. People will always need some place to live. So, even in a recession, there's always going to be someone who needs to live somewhere. So.
Now, having had this conversation, if there's somebody listening to The Real Prospector right now, they've been reading the articles, they're starting to get really familiar with real estate, and they want to make that move, would you sit down and talk to them? Is there a consultation that you can go through?
Yeah, absolutely. It's real life experience, so there's only so much reading and education you can do before you just kind of have to get out there and really see what the business is like.
Now, let's talk about technology.
Okay.
There are still an awful lot of people with their hanging signs out there, right, that they'll put in your front yard, and that'll be their real estate company. And yet, when you go in their office, they've got maybe an old computer. They've got a whole bunch of magazines stacked up there with the MLS listings in them. And so they've got the sign, they got the MLS, and they got their personal computer they're doing the company books on.
Right.
Then there are companies that are really growing and really excelling and are really, really powerful in the real estate industry, which means they can get you bought, they can get you sold, they can get you closed on time, but you're using unbelievable technology. You want to talk about technology and real estate for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we're interacting with social media in a way that's different than in the past. We're finding things, we're connecting with people differently. So, to really use that and embrace that with real estate, it's a very powerful tool that if you're using social media to highlight some properties and get that out there to specific targets, it's a very powerful tool for that. In addition to that, just being able to see homes in a way that we haven't been able to see before, whether it be by aerial photography from drones or anything like that, that's just different than just, hey, I'm going to take a photo of your house. I'm just going to stick it in the MLS and I'm just going to wait for somebody to come in and look at it.
So instead of maybe 10 years ago, with the advent of the cellular phone, and we had a lot of people, agent, sign it up, stand out there at the curb, shoot the picture, go back, download it into their computer. That was the picture they put in the brochure.
Right.
That's the picture that went to MLS.
Right.
And that was pretty much it. But now, are we hiring professional photographers? Are we doing things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Even just like the photos that you're referring to, using HDR photos, which is, a high dynamic range photo, which really is going to help you visualize the space in a way that you couldn't see it in the past. And video tours, 3D mapping. These are all things that we have at our disposal now that was not available in the past.
That is great. All right, let's say that a person has been kind of outside the real estate realm for maybe 8 to 10 years, the average in Central Florida. You've been out of the market, you own your home, your kids are growing up, everything's cool. Even some of those people who K through 12 have been in the same house because they wanted their kids to go to school with their friends. They're kind of established in the neighborhood. So they're not really plugged into real estate. What are some of the key things that if you had a friend and they said, what should I be looking for in a real estate agent besides Matt? what should I be looking for? What are some of the key bullet signs there?
Well, I think, one, you want to find someone who understands that a commission check is not their paycheck. Their commission check is a revenue stream that they funnel back into their company that invests in technologies that are going to help get their household, which i.e., Facebook, aerial photography, these new avenues. In addition to that, you want to have someone who understands the market. So if someone's coming to you and saying that your house is worth more than what you probably think it is, it's more than likely because they're putting their interest ahead of yours. So you want to have someone who's real, who's there to actually help you and make the most of your property and get you the most money for it.
Communication. Mm-hmm. How often, and this came from somebody who's familiar with our company, communication. They asked me the other day, they said, Rob, how often should I be hearing from my real estate agent?
Well, that really is driven by the client. I think at a minimum, you should hear from them several times a week. Typically, what I like to do is after each showing, I'd like to give feedback to the seller and just let them know if there is any positive or negative feedbacks. That way, we can curtail the showing for the next guest if the first person was interested. But definitely multiple touches per week, and then we also send a follow up email with all the activity that we're seeing online. How many people are viewing the properties through the different avenues like Trulia, Zillow, and things like that. So definitely multiple touches per week.
And I realize that those services are out there.
Right.
However, how important is it to really get down in your own neighborhood, mm-hmm. in the own area where you're going to be selling your home, talk to your real estate person about that, but mm-hmm. also where you're going to be going,
right.
and sit down and say, Matt Hodge, tell me about what my home is really valued at. I don't need an algorithm out of California. I want to talk about the fact that you sold a home in my neighborhood last month. So what's the real value?
Right. Yeah. So, I the way that I do it is I specialize in specific neighborhoods. And I sold a home about 2 weeks ago. And the appraiser that called me actually used three of my comps in the same neighborhood to arrive at the value at the one that we were currently selling. So, it was when you have that type of knowledge, when you are specific to an area that in-depthly, I mean, you know the values and you can choose it for your seller.
If you don't mind my asking, yeah. how far away from Zillow and Trulia was that? And I know it was a lot more precise without even seeing it.
Oh, absolutely. As you mentioned, it's just an algorithm. So they're taking new construction, doesn't matter what it is. They're just kind of throwing it out there. We were about 12 to 15% off an entire neighborhood. If you go there, the values are all over the map.
And are some of those companies, and I'm not pointing those two out specifically, mm-hmm. said the guy with the lawyer. I'm just saying, are some of those companies that are offering us a value of our home or anything like that, a critique of our home,
right.
are they trying to build up a seller's list or a buyer's list that they can sell to their clients?
Well, anybody who's offering something for free is usually going after something else. So I'll just kind of leave that there.
Average days on the market right now in some of our up-and-coming neighborhoods around Central Florida, what are we looking at?
Right now it's about 45 to 60 days. Things that are priced really right can be even faster than that, but I'd say that's probably the healthy median.
Let me ask you another question. If somebody from outside the area, let's say they live up in Jacksonville, they live in Tampa, and their son or daughter wants to go to school at Central Florida, mm-hmm. University of Central Florida, mm-hmm. can you walk those parents into how to get a value piece of property near the campus
right.
that they can use as an investment
right.
for that 4 years of college?
Absolutely. We're in a zip code 32826, which is right behind UCF, and it's a great area. They're very rental friendly. A lot of people have already purchased rental homes for there, and you see that turnover kind of quickly, but you definitely want to be in something that's at least a 4.2 to a 4.3. That seems to be the most popular size. Can house multiple students and really drive down the cost in terms of a per person.
So again, if they want to buy a rental
mm-hmm.
and have it for their kids,
right.
what about the philosophy of then having their kids bring in underclassmen as they come along as renters? So there's a little bit more life out of that house than just the 4 year investment.
Right. Absolutely. By doing that is not only going to drive down the cost for probably the student who's there, for the parents who are doing that for the student, but you're right. It does create additional revenue stream going forward, and they may just retain it even after their child has graduated from college.
All right, I got to put you on the spot, my friend.
All right.
And that is person brand new. They've listened to this cast. They're interested in Matt Hodge. They're interested in Keller Williams. So they give you a call.
Okay.
And they say, hey, let's go down and have some coffee.
Okay.
And they're going to be a lot more blunt. They're going to say, all right, I'm from Missouri where everybody's got to have a show me. Give me three reasons why I should choose you to represent me in this financial transaction as my buyer's agent.
Well, for one, I've invested in real estate for a long time, so I will accurately be able to show you when you're seeing good value in a home. Two, I work with a large network of people, so getting things done in terms of cosmetic and upgrades or fixes is a lot cheaper through the network that I can provide for you. And then lastly, just knowing the market in the area. You know, we use a cutting edge technology to analyze the areas that we think are best suited for your rental purposes.
Woo, I really like number two. I own a home. Mm-hmm. It needs some fix up.
Right.
I don't know who to call.
Right.
But wait a minute, you've been doing that for years.
Right, absolutely.
So I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's part of what you want to look for in an agent is someone who says, you know, if you need to have a plumbing issue fixed and you go to the average ABC plumber, it's going to cost you $1,700. Whereas with someone I've been, you know, working with and established with, maybe it's going to be half that cost. And then obviously that value gets translated back to you.
Okay, we have 1 minute to get your contact information.
Okay.
And a promise. We're not even started. I got to get you back here again on Real Prospector, man.
Well, yeah. If you'd like to know more information about me and my company, you can visit us at mhodgerealty.com. That's www.mhodgerealty.com. And also at Matt Hodge Realty Group at facebook.com.
All right. Very, very good. Thank you for being on the show. And what's your telephone again?
It's 407-962-9099.
Very good. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Hey, as we continue on Real Prospector, I want to welcome to the studio today, Boston Dave Knight. This guy is so well known in the real estate industry and the investment real estate industry.
You're so
kind. First of all,
Rob,
I got to
so
say
kind.
This. I got to ask you this. Where did the Boston Dave come from? Probably very evident.
Well, it is because I parked the car in Harvard Yard, but most people don't know I actually grew up in Alabama.
Is this true?
Heck no. No, I'm from Dorchester, Mass., son of a preacher, and now I Florida native, believe it or not.
How did you make it from Boston to Florida? What brought you down here? Real estate?
Yes and no. My ex-wife had control of the kids with custody and all that, so I moved down here to accomplish two things, to rekindle a relationship with my children, who are now 19 and 21, and to start a residential property management company. So,
what was the era that you started the company, Dave?
2010.
So you're kind of like Robert Palmer. You're kind of like some of the realtors that we've had on the show so far on Real Prospector, that you guys didn't exactly start off in the boom years.
No, it was when you could buy a condo in Metro West for $30,000, and today they're selling for over $90,000.
And
yes,
that's
incredible.
Were you being referred to at that time as an investor, or on a timeline, were you a flipper?
No, I'm really not into flipping properties, and there's several reasons why. One is that it takes up a lot of time and energy and a lot of cash, okay? And also in regards to flipping, you have to deal with a short-term capital gain, which is attached to your personal tax bracket. Versus when you hold a property for a year and a day, you get to pay long-term capital gains tax, which is 15%. So, no, I really wasn't into – I have flipped properties, but, no, I started with investing in long-term properties.
So we're looking at a knowledge of real estate, but we're also looking at a knowledge of the law and a knowledge of taxes.
Yes.
So how did you accumulate this type of information – to become the very famous person you are in real estate?
Wow, a famous person in real estate. Well, it's called education. This is stuff they don't teach you in college unless you go to a four-year degree in real estate college, which are very few of them. I've gone to boot camps. I am a member of CFRI, which is Central Florida Realty Investors. I am also a student of the PAC coaching program, which is Augie Bylot's program. And education, weekend seminars, my friend. That's how you become successful. And then with all that education, you got to implement it and put it into action.
Put this into perspective for us, please, because now that we're back up on the road and there's all kinds of real estate transactions going on, we're starting to hear the commercials. We're starting to see the online proposals for. We're starting to see that late night buy my CD collection, to my seminar at the Ramada this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I can make it so easy to invest in real estate.
Bring your checkbook.
Straighten these people out, will you please?
Well, you know, I've bought those and a lot of other people have. But for the most part, the national guys, and I don't want to name their names, but you see them on TV and then they come to town wanting to for you to attend a 3-day free seminar. But basically what it is, it's one long pitch to buy a $20,000 or more package. Everything is local. I would start with your local real estate investment club. And here in Central Florida, it's centralfloridarealtyinvestors.net. Check it out.
Okay. Now, you hold a real estate license.
Correct.
As well as being an investor in buying and selling of real estate.
Correct.
On the long term.
Yes.
So what is the advantage of being a real estate agent and having all that documentation versus me and producer Dave accumulating some money from all of our friends, creating a consortium, and going out and buying two or three houses in the suburbs?
Wow. That's a good question. There's several advantages of holding a real estate license. I happen to be a real estate broker. My core business is property management, residential property management. That's my core business. But the advantages are severalfold when you buy a property, especially if you're buying on a short sale or a bank, which you should be doing because you should be buying at a discount, never buy retail. But you also get a commission, 3% for every property that you do buy from the MLS, and that's always helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So when you look at property management versus accumulating some properties, holding them, and selling them.
Yes.
That may mean that you're holding those properties long term over a period of years, having renters in there.
Correct.
And taking care of new AC, new this, new
you
that.
Name it. Yes. Well, for instance, as we were talking about earlier about the condos selling for $30,000 back in 2010 and they're selling for $90,000, you would need a property manager to manage those properties on a daily, on a day-to-day basis. And then, and in the end, which is happening now with a lot of smaller condos, we are now selling those for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you need a property manager if you're in the investment business because, for the most part, most investors are busy doing other things like you're doing radio. Okay.
Right.
You probably haven't attended several seminars in regards to the landlord-tenant law, et cetera, et cetera. So
right.
You would need to seek out services of a true professional.
And what is the documentation of a true property manager? If somebody comes to Florida, they're interested in doing a little bit about what you do, not without your expertise. But, I mean, do they look for accreditation in a property manager like you would in commercial property?
They should be accredited. Obviously, they have to be a licensed real estate agent. They should be working for a property management company that's been in business for 5 years or more. But 9 out of 10 of my new clients come to me from referral. Okay, you need to be referred. Okay,
is there a designation behind Dave's name like you see in other professions where they are? They're a CES, they're a CFO, they're a DBA, whatever they might be.
Well, I am accredited residential property manager. That's one. But being a broker versus a sales agent is very sought after and highly highly.
There's a word out there.
Highly sought after, my friend.
There you go.
Bingo!
You
we go. Got it right there.
Now, we would be remiss. I mean, you are an expert in the business. We would be remiss in the environment we're in if we don't point out for those that are just starting out,
oh boy,
that this is not a really easy thing.
No.
And what are the pitfalls that usually the first
landlord tenant law right off the bat and how to deal with those tricky situations with tenants that think that they know everything and then not having the proper paperwork and not having the systems in place to deal with all the emergencies that do come up. If you could be a fly on the wall in my office for a day and understand the type of things that we have to deal with,
right.
with people.
Well, people tend to, if they're not going to pay their bills, they're not going to pay their rent, and yet they want to stay and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You're being so mean.
That's okay. This business there's no gray. It's black and white. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you've made an agreement with, with our client, with the paperwork that we've signed with lease, et cetera, and all the dems that are coming along with it, then you have to live up to it. It's easy as that.
Is there a certain percentage for people who may want to get into owning rentals?
Yes.
Is there a certain percentage that you would look at in your pro forma that
yes.
would say this much needs to be held back for maintenance per year?
Well, the pro forma, pretty simple, is what we call the 1% rule, okay? And the 1% rule works like this. If you purchase for a property for $100,000, the minimum rent you should get on a monthly basis is $1,000.
Okay.
Okay. And now from that $1,000 that you are receiving from rent, you should automatically put aside 20%. Okay. 10% goes to the property manager. Okay. And 10% will go to upkeep.
Now, people want to get to know you. People want to utilize your services.
Sure.
Or people want to become educated by you. How do we reach Boston Dave Knight?
Just go to Facebook, my friend. You can like me on Facebook. If you Google Boston Dave, I come up 1, 2, and 3, which is pretty cool. Okay. You Google Boston Dave Knight, like me on Facebook. You can contact me that way, instant message me, or you can call my office, 407-599-0000. My company is called Orlando Property Management.
All right, I've got to go into 1 minute overtime here.
Here we go.
With permission from everybody in the room.
Okay.
You mentioned Facebook.
Yes.
So you're using social media a lot. Can you give us about 1 to 2 minutes of how you're starting to utilize social media in your business?
Social media for me is a monster, okay? I average over 150 likes a day. My videos get over 1,000 views. It's pretty crazy. And it's not like... new owners are finding me that way. It's because I have worked so hard and so diligently to build relationships in the realtor community, because I'm not a retail realtor. I don't sell property. Okay. I don't list property for sale. My company just lists and manage property management. So many realtors, they see me every day on social media. And who is on the top of the mind pretty much all the time when it comes to, oh, I need a property rented. Huh, I need to call Boston Dave.
That's the way to use the media, everybody, and social media. I want to thank you, Boston Dave
Knight,
for being with us. Real Prospector is the name of the show. And we're so glad you came along. Will you come back and visit us again?
I surely will.
We just tipped the iceberg, everybody. There's a lot more to discuss.
Yes.
Real Prospector right here.